Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy.
That's right.
How you doing, man?
Doing great. Be really nice if Matt Brown didn't distract us before the show so much.
Matt Brown showing no pre-show etiquette by leaving the studio just moments ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still walking out. Yeah.
We're pumped because it is a football Friday.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Hour number two of the show, as always on Fridays. We are graced. We really are graced. We are humbled with the presence of a trio of individuals. Chris Felica from Fox Sports, talking college football with us, but more than just college, whatever he's betting on.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Fezzik, only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day, with all his mishugas, he'll be in here as well. And then Dr. Bob in the cleanup spot. I know it's only three, but it's a cleanup spot. He likes to be the anchor of the whole thing. He says, Gil, I should be last. They'll all wait in anticipation. And so there he is. He's scheduled for last.
Gives us an opportunity to tease it all week.
Week long. That's what we do here.
On Monday morning, we come in and we say, wait for 8:45 on Friday.
Guessing lines, schmessing lines. Don't worry. Dr. Bob's coming on Friday. We also have Paul Carr, the return of Paul Carr with Premier League picks. Man moves the chains with his bets. And Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke as well. We'll also do Are We Sure? For week 7 in the NFL. Love that segment, by the way. I know you've tried.
Are you sure?
I am. I know you've tried to kill it with other knockoff versions of Are We Sure? Like Thing or Not a Thing or Hot or Not Hot or whatever it is you're doing over there.
It's just segments, man.
Are We Sure? Estamos seguros? That's coming up for week 7 in the National Football League. So it's all packed. We're pumped. Always on a Friday. Let us start with baseball yesterday. Ooh, it got good again. At least in the American League, it did. Game 3 of the American League Championship Series yesterday was drama. Mm-hmm. Man, was this awesome. Guardians are up in this game 3-1 in the 8th. 3-1 in the 8th, and there's two down and nobody out for the Yankees. And Juan Soto gets on base with a walk, and the Guardians bring in their closer extraordinaire, Emmanuel Clase. Now, I like to do, you know how people do splits on players? I will do splits on Clase with pre-tattoo on the neck, post-neck tattoo. And ever since he's gotten that little thing on his neck, he hadn't been very good.
What did that? That happened mid-season?
No, like 3 weeks ago or something. Of a sudden, he appeared with the neck tattoo.
Yeah, that's a bold choice end of season.
Anyway, Aaron Judge steps to the plate, two down in the top of the 8th, down 2 with Soto on, and bam! Oppo Jack, which was a line drive that was probably at the most 25 feet up.
Yeah, it was not high, yeah.
It was incredible. And it just gets out, and we have a tie ball game, and the Yankees are going crazy. Next batter steps up against Class A is Giancarlo Stanton. He goes yard, and the Yankees lead it 4-3 in the top of the 8th, and they're going nuts, the Yankees are, because this is them on the cusp of a 3-0 lead in this best of 7 series. And, you know, if you're not the 2004 Red Sox, that's death's door for the opponent.
Yeah. Plus the way it happens too, right? How many years have we been waiting for Yankees fans have been waiting for Judge Stanton? Boom, boom. Takes it. Take over late in the game. Win it for us. Looks like they're about to do it.
Yankees add the old insurance run in the top of the 9th. It's 5-3. And then bottom of the 9th, Jose Ramirez gets on an error, but then Josh Naylor immediately with a double play. So it's, you know, against, at this point, it was not Weaver anymore, but it was Holmes on the mound for the Yankees. So there's two out, nobody on. The Guardians are down two. They get a runner on base, and up steps Johnkensy Noel to the plate, down again to their last out with a runner on. Goodbye. Absolutely pulverizes the baseball. Gone. And Cleveland goes into utter pandemonium, except for Clevelander Adam Burke, who I text and I go, let's go. And he's like, oh, boy. This is painful. I'm like, yes, it is. It's torture. That's what we used to call it in San Francisco.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're just torturing him at that point. Yep.
5-5, we go to extras. Bottom of the 10th, Lane Thomas almost goes yard. It goes off the top of the wall. He gets on second base with two out, and up steps David Fry. Actually, that was the previous one. That was Luke Weaver who gave up the shot to Noel. Pardon me. This is, in this case, this is... Holmes, and then this is David Fry, who was one of our March, April, and May stars. Well, we had those Guardians bet. He goes yard. Both of those homers from Noel and Fry, no doubters. And the Guardians from the dead beat the Yankees 7-5. And that series now 2-1. Game 4 is tonight in Cleveland at Progressive Field. That one is going to be Luis Gil going up against Gavin Williams. Neither of these guys have pitched since the regular season. So that's game 4 tonight. That will be preceded, by the way, it's minus 120 on the Yankees. The Yankees, the slightest of favorites in game 4, as the Guardians try to knot that series up at 2 games apiece. The early game today, because we do have a doubleheader, is game 5 of the Dodgers and the Mets. That's the one that's kind of like, my goodness, remember all that Mets hope that existed mere days ago? Well, the Dodgers win last night 10-2. The Dodgers' 3 wins in this series now, they lead the best of 7 series, 3-1, are 9-0, 8-0, and 10-2. Is that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. That was a not very competitive game last night.
Mookie was 4-6 with 4 ribbies last night. He was tremendous. It's like, it's not going to be a good game for somebody else. Oh, I forgot Mookie plays.
Right.
Yeah, there's 4. It's just amazing.
But also, how like depressing does it immediately have to be when Ohtani gets up to like first at bat and it's just home run? Like, oh, cool. We're down 1-0.
I'm just living this through Mets fans, though, like our buddy Parlay. It's like the hope of all of these Mets fans trying to get back to their first World Series since 2015. Before that, it was 2000. They haven't won since 1986. They're just as the Mets' magic to get them in on that final regular season doubleheader, their performance in the wild card and the division rounds. They win game 2. All of a sudden, Bueller is set up for game 3. Everyone's super excited. And the Dodgers have beaten them so badly that the hope has diminished to they have to win today or it's over.
It's not even entertaining for those of us that might be in the camp of, look, I'm not rooting against the Mets, but it's very entertaining in sports when the Mets get far and then something, you know, tragic, horrible happens loss-wise. But like you said, the Dodgers aren't even making this competitive.
Well, it's Jack Flaherty as a minus 142 favorite for the Dodgers this afternoon at Citi Field. Again, the Mets trying to stave off elimination, going up against, this is David Peterson, who his baseball card stats a little better than his advanced stats. His ERA is better than his fielding independent and his xFIP. The reason for that, a slightly elevated strand rate and a really reduced home run to fly ball rate. So not quite as good as the ERA suggests. There'll be a quick hook, as quick a hook as you could possibly have, and as elimination games go, and that's the story this afternoon. Dodgers minus 142 favorites as they look to close out the Mets. Come on, Guardians, make that other one competitive at least. Football last night, I ended up using the Broncos as my as one of my millions picks.
Good for you. That was an easy one.
Yeah, I bet them too. But that was because I couldn't come up with a better fifth.
Yeah.
And there was the possibility that this was a free bingo square yesterday. It does go over in the end. 33-10, the Broncos beat the Saints in a game that does not deserve any kind of recap other than the Broncos were smart. Sean Payton was smart to take field goals. He just knew if he just got points every time that would eventually add up. Spencer Rattler fumbled twice. One was returned for a touchdown. There was a second one. Or actually a third fumble, but a second one that was actually returned for a fumble also by Cody Barton in both cases. Cody Barton, one counted. One in the first half did not count when the score was 6-0 because the Broncos were ruled offside. So this could have technically been even worse than it was. 33-10. It was just destruction. Bo Nix, 16 of 26 for 164, but 10 carries for 75 yards as well. Spencer Rattler was through for 172 yards. Not only did he have the 2 fumbles, but he was sacked 6 times in this football game. And the Saints, after winning their first 2, now a MASH unit, obviously don't have their starting quarterback in Derek Carr, but now, as I mentioned yesterday, could be the case, Rashid Shaheed is gone for the year. That was confirmed yesterday. And the Saints are, they've lost five in a row. They're 2-5 now. And the Broncos get to 4-3. And I'll say this about the Broncos, which said earlier in the week, they strike me, listen, every NFL game, I mean, you could say this about a lot of sports, but every NFL game, certainly if you take a lead, you're in an advantageous position. But I think the Broncos are the most game script impacted team there is. In other words, if they can get ahead, that kind of defense and that kind of conservative offense can get you to the finish line in a ball game. They are not a team that will do well when they're behind. I know they made it interesting against the Chargers last week, but I think that's kind of their identity. Mm-hmm. But good on them. They're 4-3, and good on Sean Payton for coaching up Bo Nix. They have done a lot better here early on than I would have suspected.
Yeah, and I mean, I would add on, I think the game script you're talking about is dead on, but it also, they feel like a dead under team going forward. This game goes over, which was maybe the biggest surprise to me was, I was on team total under on the Saints yesterday. That got home easily. Not a huge shock to see the offensive struggles from the Saints, but then on the defensive side of the ball, just getting run all over by the Broncos. Like, that's got to be the way more concerning part if you're New Orleans.
We talked about that yesterday, though. That was a definite possibility. By the way, it would have stayed under, but in the, in sort of garbage time, the fumble return for a touchdown by Barton, and then the Saints down 33-3 get the cosmetic touchdown at the end with Jake Haener at quarterback, not with Rattler at quarterback.
Yeah, but you're talking about the Saints next week. We usually talk about like two quarterbacks and who's going to go. It could be like one of four quarterbacks next week. We don't know what Rattler's status really is after that game. Haener a possibility. Carr could be back. And Taysom Hill maybe could be back. Maybe he's the guy.
Could be Bobby A. Bear. We don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe they could trade back for your guy, Jameson.
They should, yeah.
Yeah. You still want Jameis to start in Cleveland?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Kelly guy. Kelly Bidlin, 9-1. Heading into this weekend of Circa Millions Q2.
Don't know what I'm playing, but yeah.
We'll come back. Are we sure week 7 in the National Football League and everything we have bet in the NFL on Sunday? Or maybe Monday? It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on the numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino in downtown Las Vegas is Gil Alexander. Always appreciate you making us part of your Monday through Friday between 10 to noon Eastern, 7 to 9 Pacific. And as always, as part of Football Friday, hour number two, after Felica, before Dr. Bob, Steve Fezzik joins us in studio. Today is no different. You can follow him on Twitter at Fezzik Sports at your own peril, by the way, I should add. He's not very nice on Twitter, but in real life, he's actually a decent human being. It's Steve Fezzik, everybody, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. How are you, sir?
The pioneer, the bear, the actuary. What more could you want on your Friday morning?
That's right. A bear, an actuary, and a pioneer walk into a bar together. What happens? Hey, will you take a listener question before we get into all that you wanted to talk about?
Absolutely.
Because I think this is a good one. This is from good friend Chillionaire. He actually asked this last hour, and I promised I would pass it on to you. He said Gil had a question for Fezzik, if you don't mind asking, if he can explain how he determines NFL power rankings and the corresponding spreads for matchups. Thank you and enjoy the weekend, guys.
Yeah, so it's complicated, but to simplify, I've got a number that, and by the way, every power rating for an average team should be 0. So it used to be like college team, their power rating for Ball State, 64. What does that mean? So an average team is a 0. Best team right now would be like Detroit Lions, 5.5. Kansas City Chiefs, 5.5. If they played an average team, that would be a 0 on a neutral. I take the difference. It'd be 5.5. Take the difference between the power ratings, adjust for home field, which is not the same for all teams.
Right.
Like this week, I would give Jacksonville 1 for a London home field advantage, by example. How do I actually set those numbers? I look at the underlying metrics like the yards per play, et cetera. I look at recent injuries, any quarterback changes, like the New Orleans Saints are like a -5.5 in my ratings before that game last night. So they're literally the worst team in the league right now after last night because they don't have Carr.
Yeah.
And they've got so many other injuries. And then to set an actual line, there's certain situations that you have to be aware of, good situations, bad situations. But my starting point is always the difference between the power ratings and then adjust for home field. And usually most of the power ratings are based on like the underlying statistics. But if I'm way off market, I will adjust back to the market. I won't be just on a complete and utter island. I would say the one team I'm probably more optimistic than most would be the Eagles. I'm higher on the Eagles. Like, mm-hmm. I think the Eagles will win the division, not your Washington football team.
I was going to save this for later, but let's just, since you bring up the Eagles, that is your best play of this week, straight bet?
Yes. So the Eagles laying three. I think you can get that over at the Hall of Fame bookmakers over at the South Point. So you can go and play play right there, minus 110. You don't want to lay minus, it's fine to lay up to minus 115. My handicap, my power ratings make it five. So that's one handicap. My second power rating would be comps. So the Giants were just playing the Bengals, all right? The Bengals were laying four.
The transitive property.
Transitive property.
That's right.
So I have Eagles greater than Bengals. Mm-hmm. Many people have them comparable. Let's say they're comparable, all right? So if the Bengals were laying four, all right, against at New York Giants, then the Eagles should be laying four at the New York Giants, not laying three. Now, you could say, well, wait a minute, Fez, they get Neighbors back. They're gifted wide receiver. Yeah, but they lost their left tackle, the Giants did. And also Dexter Lawrence is banged up. So the injuries at best is a push for the Giants. And from the transitive property, you land on four. From my power ratings, minus five. So I'm going to lay minus three. I think Crackman likes that as well.
All right, Eagles minus three at the New York Giants. That's Fezzik's play of the week. He will have a play for next week, the look at, which he has done every week that he's come on the show here. We'll get to that momentarily. But you wanted to comment on something we were talking about earlier here, where someone tweeted in, and I always say this, that from a psychological standpoint, not playing something that ends up winning somehow takes a bigger toll than actually losing something that you're involved in. You have a problem with that.
Well, I agree with you directionally in terms of psychologically.
Yes, that's all we're saying.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Fair enough. Because obviously when you lose a bad beat, that's a 2.1 unit swing.
Yes.
When you miss Gilly's two winners on tennis, well, that's like a 1.8. You know, this is a hard thing. So even missing like a plus 200 winner on your tennis, that's only costing me two units. A bad beat cost me 2.1. By the way, I was thinking how hard it is to be a professional sports bettor. So last night I went out to dinner with family and had an early dinner at 6:15, went right to sleep. And Gilly texted me, I bet you didn't bet my tennis winners
this morning.
Did you?
Yes. I can tell when you guys don't play them because there's not a uproar of excitement, right?
I shut it down Friday at 6 p.m. on Thursday at 6 p.m. until Friday morning. We work 24/7. I mean, it's crazy.
I don't know. I don't know if I should text them anymore to you guys. I don't know.
I just I don't care about the sushi spot. Just send the tennis. Send me the tennis.
Okay. Let's do this one though, because I think you and I are super simpatico on this. I have talked about this from time to time on this show. Haven't in a while though, but it has come up several times during the years. And that is the notion of, Because Bob has an opinion on this. So oftentimes Dr. Bob will come on and he'll be like, oh, all the lucky stuff evens out. And I contend that if you are good, right, I have contended this before, if you're good at what you do, if you genuinely have an edge in a particular sport, that it does not even out. You agree?
Of course not. Because if I'm really good, I'm going to win 54 to 55% of my bets. So, for every 100 bets I have, I have 55 of every right sides. We'll say I have 55 right sides and 45 wrong sides. 55 is a lot bigger than 45. So I'm going to get, if 10% of them go south through nefarious methods, I'm going to lose 5.5 of those. I'm only going to lose 4.5 on the other side. And that's just with the random luck. Also, sharps tend to play more unders and more underdogs. Last time I checked, underdogs and unders don't do well in overtime. So every time a game goes overtime and you lose an under, that's going to be a bad beat to the sharps. And I mean, and that's crushing for people who play basketball totals that primarily play unders. I mean, that's and overtime's an enormous hit each and every year.
Overtime where underdogs go to die. As they
absolutely.
Say.
Yes.
I actually think that's a pretty fascinating subject. And again, I haven't brought it up in a long time, but I really believe that also. And you know it. You broke it down beautifully mathematically, that mathematically it makes sense. But also just, anecdotally, when you think about it, you're like, oh, if you're being honest about it, there are sports where, like the NFL is plinko. I would never tell you that it doesn't even out in the NFL.
Total last night. Okay, the side wasn't plinko, but that total was random.
Right. But there are sports that you can have an expertise in where you think about it. And if you're being honest, and you should be honest, you should always acknowledge when you're getting the best of it luck-wise. But the ones that go against you when you're good are absolutely more common.
You know, and Charlie J, very gifted hockey bettor, part of the Tuesday group for years and years. I haven't spoke to Charlie for a few years.
Does the Tuesday group still exist, by the way?
No, disbanded.
It did?
Yeah.
Well, how many years ago did it disband?
I was like, I stopped going like 15 years ago. Yes.
So as far as you're concerned, that's when it disbanded?
Well,
I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
But Charlie brought up an excellent point because he played a lot of overs. And he's like, you guys are like square sharps in many ways because you don't want to feel every, you know, fumble return for touchdown, every kickoff return for touchdown is just, you know, a completely random event. And last time I checked, will there be a defensive touchdown or special teams touchdown is always, you know, the no is minus 300, but the yes is plus 250. That means if you play, you know, 10 games, you know, three of these suckers is going to happen. So you need to adjust 2 to 3 points each and every game for such an occurrence.
Yeah, we almost had two of them last night. One got called back from an offside penalty. Okay, so how is your season going so far? By the way, the NFL, you doing okay?
The NFL has been bad actually, below 500.
Oh, really?
College football, you know, this is an amazing thing. College football has been good, despite the worst money line performance you would ever imagine. So I mean, I've
Can I ask you about that? Why? Yeah. Okay, so you lost on Louisiana Tech the other night. It was a big money line favorite again.
Yes.
You're most famous for Purdue as a number one seed, minus 4,500, I believe it was.
Yes.
Taking on Fairleigh Dickinson. We all know Fairleigh Dickinson upset the second 16-1 upset in the history of March Madness. You keep doing it. It's almost like you lean into it, and you're almost more adamant about publicizing it when you do this on Twitter. Why would that be?
Well, I'm stubborn because the math, and famously with the Purdue loss, Elihu Feistel came on and said, oh, yeah, I love that play. I bet it as well.
Yes.
All right. So number one seeds. And if
Elihu says it's good, then
the number one seeds is irrelevant. It's just a matter of, you know, looking back historically at teams in the tournament that are 23-point favorites, because you're never going to get a flat 23-point favorite in a tournament. But I will say this. I've been thinking about this. I'm going to stop doing in college football because I think – the historical on how well a team covers laying 12 says it's a good bet, like on Louisiana Tech. But with the transfer portal and the uncertainty of how good the teams are, I think there's more volatility than there has been in the past. And because of that, I'm going to pump the brakes. I'm going to say part of it is like no one has been better with college football season wins than Dr. Bob.
Yeah.
And he has La Tech over 5. And I actually said to myself, boy, he needs this game. He's not going to win La Tech if they don't win this game. And I know he's going to win because he wins every year. So I was like, La Tech's going to win this game. And then, you know, they were like 95% lining up for basically an extra point on a game-winning field goal. So, hey, the karma, bad karma.
When we come back, Steve's look-ahead play for Week 8. Also, maybe some advice for Kelly's 9-1 millions quarter entry. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready to try something different? Sign up to start playing the ponies on First Bet. First Bet is U.S.-based and offers wagering on hundreds of races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment. We've got a lot to get to. I just want to review something you said because I don't want to gloss over it. First of all, we caught that you blamed that Louisiana Tech loss on Dr. Bob.
You picked up on that.
Kelly picked up on it more than I did. He's very right. But just to clarify, so you, because of this variance in college football, you might ratchet back these big money lines in that sport specifically?
Yes. People think I'm completely an utter old guy, get off my lawn, inflexible. And nothing is further from
not
the truth.
You.
I'm the first guy to say I make all kinds of mistakes.
Not
I mean,
you.
And I can adjust. And I pride myself on that, reinventing myself. Yes.
We did get one question on Twitter also. This is addressed to me, Jordan Pagel. Are we getting an apolitical election betting segment this year? We've already done one. We will absolutely do at least one or two more here before the election. You are doing some election stuff on your own.
We're having a lot of fun. BetUS, we did two election shows. So Kyle Hunter, Doug Kazarian, and I. And based upon the past, basically the election comes down to four of the swing states, and very likely whoever wins Pennsylvania is going to win this election. Should be very close.
Should be very close. Can't wait to talk more election betting. We've done great doing it through the years here on the Numbers Game. So yes, Jordan, we absolutely will. I mentioned before we get, because you have a teaser you want to give out, and then we want to talk about Week 8. You have a look ahead. But before we do that, Kelly is 9-1. It is a 5-week quarter in millions, in circa millions. He's 9-1. He's doing it on his conviction. You had an interesting bit of, you have an interesting bit of advice for anyone like Kelly who is at or towards the top of the leaderboard, even 2 weeks into a 5-week.
Yeah, so this is going to be controversial because Kelly is kicking butt.
Yes.
And the sharps are not. The sharps are struggling. And the sharps that play the best numbers, like Jacksonville +2, like Tennessee +1, famously last week, they all got punked. They all did lousy. So they're not in contention. So Kelly likely should consider pivoting and playing the value that's being offered in the contest, submitting as late as possible. The reason being, the people he's competing against, they're not going to listen to me. Fezzik's an idiot. He's 5-5 on his 10, and I'm 9-1. I'm going to take the five teams I like the best, and regardless of what the point spread being offered is.
So what you are suggesting, another way to say it is, Kelly, who has gotten to 9-1 by his own conviction, ought to pivot his strategy to now just take the best of it, because and not go by the conviction that brought you to this dance this far, 9-1, because the people who are behind you are unlikely to ever catch you the way that they bet, right?
Yes.
If you bet that way,
and the people
if you bet the same way they do.
The people that you're tied with are not going to play that way. They're not going to take advantage.
Right. They're going to still play by their conviction.
But I'd like to say tweak his strategy. I don't want to go completely against it. I want to like it be a hybrid where maybe he will take his two or three favorite picks of the week and then take two pure value picks.
So I think this is fascinating because I get what you're saying. And I understand logically that your strategy here is probably the right one, except for the fact that we all have human brains.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that Kelly and anybody else who's 9-1 or 10-0, they will hate themselves if they end up losing now going to your strategy, when if they had stayed with their own conviction, they would have ended up winning.
Exactly. However, the second, like, let's say he's in contention the last week and there was odds, will Kelly Bidden win the quarterly prize? The second they saw the five best math plays being submitted by him, his odds would adjust in his favor.
Right.
Versus playing his five favorite plays kind of regardless of what the spread dealt.
So then let's split the difference then. So then isn't the proper way to do this? Kelly should probably play the way that he wants to this week and maybe a hybrid the following week and then pivot to your strategy if he is still up towards the top the last week.
I think he should pivot now.
But, you think he should.
But that's how I've been successful in my contest. So I probably have a little bit too much of a bias towards that because I've been so good with those contests doing just that over the years.
By the way, you distinguish between Kelly and the sharps, we noticed. And here's Kelly, live shot of Kelly here and the square bears. There he is.
You know, I gotta tell you, the square bears, like anyone who's not following, there's a whole bunch. I'm not gonna name them, but I'll name mine. Like I'm on podcasts, and we've done terrible picking against the spread, and I'm not, you know, and if you're listening to a whole bunch of these guys, the number one thing, and I've always emphasized this, it's really, really difficult to win, and it's especially difficult to win when boom, snapshot, point in time, on the Megapod. Like last year, you just destroyed it. You did so well.
Yeah.
But you have to make five selections or three selections at one set point in time. You don't get to like cherry pick when news is breaking. And all of a sudden, you know, like that's why my friend the Hitman does so well. like you can't just smoke dope all week and get who the hitman's playing Friday night, because you're like, well, wait a minute, he played minus two and the line's minus three. Well, yeah, you got to be engaged. You got to get it right when the news hits. Otherwise, I just don't think I think no one's going to win laying minus 110, playing five NFL sides at one select point in time against market numbers.
Three Jack H3131 chimes in. He goes, how dare Fezzik say Kelly, a.k.a. Preston, isn't sharp. Twitter Fezzik popping up in real life on ANG. I'm trying to tame him. Okay, let's get to the good stuff here. You've been kind enough to come on and give a look ahead position every single week you've come on. Would you like to comment on last week's look ahead to this week first between the Steelers and the Jets?
Oh, gosh. It's like WrestleMania 3, you know, the Macho Man. What a disaster, you know?
Yeah.
Everything went wrong. Outside interference, you know, George the Animal steal from behind. All right. I gave out the Steelers minus one, and I said, this makes no sense against the Jets. It's a terrible spot for the Jets. The Jets were playing on some other continent. Where was that? Australia? Week five?
I'm pretty sure it was not.
I think it was Europe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they think about the roller coaster. And they lose. They're down. And then they fire their coach. And then maybe they're up. And then they play the Bills and they're down. But it's Monday Night Football. But then they get the Hail Mary and they're up. But then, doink, they hit the kicks off the crossbars.
This is exhausting.
Yes. All right. As opposed to the Steelers, we go out to Vegas and we crush the Raiders. And so I was like, the spot screams Pittsburgh, the power rating screams Pittsburgh. And then Davante Adams goes to the Jets. That's obviously going to help the Jets and makes them a better team. And he knows the system and he knows Rodgers. And boom. And now the Steelers are going with Russell Wilson at quarterback. And
you know what?
I'm going to show a little humility. I think maybe there are those who are aware that Davante Adams trade was coming. And I don't think anybody really, really thought Russell Wilson was going to be the starting quarterback. So there's been bad news for Pittsburgh. And that's going to happen when you play a minus one and now it's plus two. But I'm going to double down and now I'm going to tease Pittsburgh.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Because I still, So that's okay. My teaser of the week. I'm going to play Pittsburgh from plus two up to plus eight with your Washington football team minus eight to minus two, because I still, power rating wise, I made some adjustments. I still can only get to pick them on this game, and I'm getting plus two up to plus eight in the teaser.
All right, the Steelers and the Commodores is your teaser of the week. By the way, let's rack that. We had humble Steve Fezzik there for a moment. Let's make sure we solidify that in history.
Oh, I'm wrong all the time. 46% of the time, oftentimes 47.5%.
All right, what's your look ahead for week eight, sir?
All right, so we're gonna set it up, and I'm gonna say to bet it or go. This will be at DraftKings. All right, we're gonna take Atlanta, Tampa Bay. The total is 48. Set up over on Atlanta, Tampa Bay. Go. We are betting over 48. Atlanta, Tampa Bay. This is a very simplistic handicap. Tampa Bay has an above average offense and a below average defense. Atlanta has an average defense and an above average offense that's really gelling now that Cousins, you know, looks to be fully back from his injury. Also, anyone paying any attention, the scoring is finally going up in the NFL, going up big time. The kickoff rules are helping. You start on the 30, you get two first downs, you can kick a field goal, right?
It's amazing.
It really is.
Yeah.
So the last 2 weeks, the average scoring has been right around 50 in both weeks. And here's a game that looks, I know I don't like division game overs, but you've got the offenses have the advantage. And you got a total sub 50 at 48. So we're going to go over the 48. Bold prediction. I know I got the line move wrong on the Steelers. I'm sorry. The Davante Adams would be bad. I'm confident this one will indeed beat the closing number.
Okay. By the way, you have to let it breathe next time because people are landing on the show for the first time. So when you said go, they didn't know that there was a possibility that it could have been a cancel or an oppo.
That's an excellent point. You know, one thing I have noticed with Right Angle Sports is that when they go, they go faster than when they cancel. All right. I don't know if you noticed it. So if it's a go, it tends to go like after 10 seconds. And if it's a cancel or an oppo, they tend to wait like 15 seconds. So like after 12 seconds, I'm like, this one's a phony.
Oh, a little tell is what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, okay. For those who are, you know, down with Right Angle Sports. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it.
Steve Fezzik, always a entertaining and insightful two segments. Dr. Bob, the pioneer. On the other side, we'll talk some college football next right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.